to Unbroken Podcast. I'm Alexandra Amor, author, coach, and a lifelong explorer of what it means to be human. This is the podcast where my guests and I explore the inside-out nature of life and the psychological paradigm called the Three Principles. We explore the positive effect this can have on every aspect of our lives, including resolving things like unwanted habits, anxiety, trauma, depression, and more. You'll find episode show notes, transcriptions, your complimentary Freedom from Overeating starter kit, and lots more at unbrokenpodcast.com. And now, here's the show. Hello, explorers, and welcome to episode 53 of Unbroken. I'm Alexandra Amor, and I've got something a little bit different here for you today. As you've heard, I've been struggling a bit with my overeating habit for the last few months and trying really hard to work through that myself and apply everything I know and everything I've learned over the last few years, everything I share with you. And it just wasn't working. And you could probably tell from last week's episode, I was just really struggling, really suffering, and just hit a wall, I guess, basically. So I called in my friend, Tanya Alfersi. Tanya has been on the show previously, and she focuses to a large extent on working with women who are dealing with menopause and perimenopausal symptoms. And suffering around that. And she had a big insight around her own health, her own menopause symptoms, and because of the three principles. And so now she shares that with others. She's written a book. And like I say, she's been on the show. I meant to look and see what episode it was. But if you search for her name on my website, you'll find the previous episode with her. So I know how lovely and amazing Tanya is and how wise she is. So I asked her to step in and coach me. And that's what you're going to hear today. This is a coaching call. She's coaching me. And I really have some big insights around what she shares and what she points out to me. And it was really powerful. And I feel, I feel like I'm over that hurdle. The thing that I was struggling with for the last few months, the suffering that I was experiencing. So I'm so grateful to Tanya for doing this with me. It was a lot of fun. And like I say, I got a ton out of it. So that's it. That's all I'm going to say. This is the introduction. And I'm going to leave you now with this coaching session between Tanya and I. And next week, I think what I might do is pull out the things that really struck me and have stayed with me and that really changed the way I see things and go over each one of those in more detail. So that'll be next week's episode number 54. So until then, I will leave you with this coaching session. I hope you are doing well and I will see you next week. Bye.
All right. So how can I help you?
Thank you for being with me here today. I really appreciate it. And here's the funny thing. I had a couple of insights in the last couple of days that have felt like they've been quite helpful. So I was listening to some Sydney Banks stuff while I was cooking the other night. And I guess it doesn't really matter what was said, but he said, "You are a divine being walking through this life trying to find yourself." Mm-hmm. And I just really resonated with that. It really encapsulated, you know, everything we do, and just shifted something for me. But let's talk about the stuff that's tricky, because that's where the juice is. I guess my main question would be, when you feel stuck, if you felt stuck, what do you do in that situation?
Mm. First of all, I often feel stuck because I'm such a human. I don't float on my little enlightenment cushion. And sometimes it just occurs to me that the feeling is telling me what's true.
Oh.
So I fall back into the feeling and ponder on that. And I've checked this out now for about 6, 7 years. Because it's not enough that I'll tell you the feeling is pointing to what's true. And in that sense, as I'm sure you know, it's the feeling of clarity. It's the feeling of clarity that tells us where there's truth, right? And everything else is not true. So I could tell you this, but until you really experience it, I mean, I'm still surprised when I get that. And I'll give you an example, you know, really, it's not, I guess it's not like a stuck example, but it's an example of that. Like, I went to sleep. I was trying to go to sleep. I'd almost fallen asleep, or I'd just about fallen asleep. And all of a sudden there was a huge bang. I mean, boom. And so I'm going through my mind and I'm like, okay, it doesn't sound like it was a missile. Unfortunately, I know what that sounds like. It doesn't sound like there's a bomb. I know what that sounds like. But there was definitely something. And I just like went through, you know, I was just lying there. I wasn't moving. And I suspected my husband might have heard it, but I didn't. I thought maybe he was asleep. I didn't want to wake him up. And so I was going through, well, maybe it's like a new kind of bomb that I haven't heard before. And it's a new kind of weapon and a new kind of thing. And then I was like listening, well, there would be sirens. Okay, so this is like, because we're still in the war, right? But there would be sirens. And I'm not hearing any sirens. Or maybe it was further away, but it was still quite a loud bang. And I got up and I checked the news and there was nothing in the news. And I was like, maybe they're hiding it from us. Maybe it's so bad they're hiding it from us. Right. So this is all going through my mind. And it is 2 a.m. Right. So it's like by that time, by the time I got up, it was 2 a.m. I think I was like kind of falling asleep about 1 a.m. So it was like, you know, that whole time I was just like lying there having all these emotions. And then I came back to bed and I woke up. My husband was like, did you hear that? And he's like, it's thunder. Yes. I mean, I don't know why I didn't catch it as thunder, but I didn't, right? So then I had this whole hour. And of course, if I had tuned in before, I would know, right? Because it's always true. It's always true. Even if the truth, we can say, is something that we would classify as uncomfortable, right? But the truth is always in the clarity and it's never in the uncomfortable feeling. It's so profound, right? And like I said, you have to test it to believe it, because we're always going to say, well, surely this one is, you know, this one is not going to be, this one is not. But it is. And even if, like I said, even if there's a situation where we think, well, this is terrible, like in any sense, like it's not even that. It's the story we attach to the situation that's making us feel uncomfortable.
Okay. So applying that to myself, when I sort of felt like I was having a relapse, that's what I'm calling it, but it, you know, holding that term lightly, in October, which is sort of when it started. So I get the feeling of the drive to overeat. And what you're saying, putting that in personal terms, is that the truth isn't there in that feeling. It's in clarity. And so when I feel that feeling, knowing that it's not true, is one place to look, right?
Yeah. But I'm sure there are a number of thoughts that are coming through at that time for you. So perhaps about like what happens, and then we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I feel disappointed right away. I hope it's very temporary, you know, like a day or two, which this time it wasn't. And then I kind of went into a passive mode of just waiting for insight about it. And that eventually led to frustration. So that was my process. Does that help?
Yeah, can we go back a little bit more?
Okay.
Like what happens? Like you're talking about like how you feel with yourself. So what happens in that? Like you just said, I have the feeling to overeat. I can't remember the words used or something. Like what's that?
The drive to overeat is what I call it.
So okay, the drive.
Yeah. So it's this specific feeling around. Yeah, how can I describe it? It's a feeling of being gripped by a drive, like I said, to eat in a way that I don't want to eat, you know, to engage in a behavior that I don't want to do. And it feels so compelling that if I tried to just use willpower to not do it, which I have done in the past, it's futile. You know, it's like holding that beach ball under the water. It's just, you're fighting against Mother Nature and it's just going to pop up eventually.
Can you talk about like what's going on? Like this, it seems like, you know, there's something underneath that. There's something before that.
Oh, something before that. Huh. I don't think so. Can you give me an example of some?
Well, it just like, do you suddenly like, maybe you do, right? Like, oh, I need to overeat. What's the thought there?
Yeah, it doesn't really come as a thought initially. It's a feeling. That's why I call it a drive. So it's, it feels kind of desperate and compulsive. But until that moment, I had been doing just fine. So it doesn't feel like it's triggered by thinking. So like with your example, with the bombs, of course, or the thunder, right? That noise was kind of the trigger that created a lot of thinking, is what you're saying. Yeah. And in this case, it's not, there isn't really something like that, a trigger like that.
But then it's like, I want a piece of cake or I want the whole cake. Like, tell me, how does that work for you?
Yeah. It's in this case, I want rice with my dinner, and which I've been trying to avoid, and wine. And yeah, there's a bit of, you know, one glass of wine isn't enough. It has to be more than that, two or three.
Okay. So, like, there's, I want rice with my dinner. And then what happens?
And then I have it, you know, and so there's food on my plate and it's too much food. You know, I can see that it's more food than I actually need, but I feel that feeling of desperation. And when I eat it, and it, you know, and I feel some sense of pleasure while I'm doing that. And then afterwards, I feel sort of disgusted with myself, disappointed, yeah, unhappy.
Okay. So I don't even know if this is the right place to look, but it feels like it might be. Like to go back, like, so you make yourself the rice, right? And you know that you don't want to be eating rice. So what happens back then that you say, I'm going to make myself rice because.
Oh, because it will calm this feeling of desperation, this drive to overeat. It will go, make it go away temporarily.
Okay. And the feeling to overeat then, like there's something like back there that seems to me that that's the start, and then it's like a kind of a snowball, right, of everything else that we can just try and excuse or say okay or whatever. But there seems to be like something at the beginning that's rising up and saying, right, if you're calling it a desperation for what?
Or, well, now it's funny. Now I just react to the feeling. I don't really examine it. In a way, I could say it's desperation to just make the feeling itself go away. Right? It's the drive to, well, I feel the feeling and then I feel, yeah, compelled to make it go away. And I know the thing that will make it go away, which is a large meal. And then what else? What else?
Can I stop you
Steak?
there?
Yeah,
How
yeah.
do you know the feeling that will make it go away?
Practice. I mean, it works, you know, it does work.
Right. Okay. So, but what makes what's there's something behind the desperate. There's something like it's either like I'm desperate to eat, I'm hungry, or I'm desperate to eat because I'm sad, lonely. What's that?
Yeah, and that's really interesting. Consciously, no, there's not that feeling there. And I know what you're pointing to. Yeah, that we and I that has been the case in the past, you know, where I've really, before I knew about the principles, I would have a bad day or have a feel angry or upset, and I would eat the thing in order to soothe myself, you know, from that experience. This Now I know that my moods go up and down, and there isn't really, it's, I'm not trying to solve a feeling or a mood or a thought at all. It's habitual. It happens at the same time every day. So for the rest of the day, I eat just fine and I'm happy with the way I eat. And then it just happens that right now, at this time, at supper time, I feel this drive to eat compulsively.
Because I, again, I wonder what's there,
Yeah.
right? I wonder what's there because there must be something that's there, and it's not, you know, there's no judgment about what's there. Just I wonder what's there, like. I wonder why I'm then having to creating this decision. Like, I wonder why I decided that was something terrible with the thunder, right?
Oh.
Do you see what I mean? And so I can say, well, because I was like, you know, feeling a bit, you know, a bit sensitive about the war stuff and stuff like that. And then my husband was just like, kind of like heard, oh, thunder. That's whatever. Like, you know, so, but I wonder what's there. And it's like, there's no, I guess there's no answer, but like, I would wonder what's there that creates difficulty because it seems like there's something going on there that then says, I must eat. And then there must be something afterwards, because there's some feeling that you're getting. And I know talking to other women who have, you know, eating challenges with eating, let's call it a wide range. And they would say, you know, I had these cookies today and blah, blah, blah. I'd be like, well, I have cookies too. But I just don't have the thinking about it. Right. So is it possible that you could have the rice and then you're like, okay, I just had the rice. That's it. Full stop.
It could be possible, theoretically. I think what I notice is that I'm responding mindlessly to that feeling of. So this is, you know, it's really good to talk about this because it's making me break it down into smaller pieces. I feel that feeling, and I know from experience that willpower doesn't work. So fighting against it won't accomplish anything. So I don't do that. So I kind of take that out of the equation. And do I have a lot of thinking about it afterwards? Yes, definitely. Because it feels like a problem for sure. And yeah, so there's definitely a lot of thinking about it while it's happening and afterwards. And see, the way that I've seen it over these years of exploring this is that feeling of the feeling of the drive to overeat is letting me know that there's more to see about my state of mind. You know, the feeling is always letting me know where my thinking is. But in this case, it's not, my thinking isn't somewhere specific. You know, it's not that I've been thinking about having a bad day and I'm trying to solve that problem. So the feeling is, the best way I can say it is the feeling is letting me know that there's more to see about my true nature. That's why that quote from Sydney Banks at the beginning touched me so deeply, you know, that there's, yeah, there's something in between me and my understanding of my divinity. So that's the best way I can describe it.
Might be simpler than I think perhaps you're describing it, because if you're saying the feeling allows me to see that there's something more to see, how about if it's simpler than that? And it's just showing you that you've fallen off a path of truth. That's it. And it's okay to hang out there. Right? But it's just not your truth.
Yeah.
And then we don't have to, of course, go in and analyze. What's the thought? What's taking me off this path of truth? We can just know, oh, I've fallen off the path of truth. Now what do I want to do? No judgment. I can fall off the path of truth. Right? So a similar example that comes to mind, you know, sometimes if I shout at my kids, and then, like, I realize, well, kind of half sentence, what? There's really a better way to do this, to explain to them what you want. But I may keep on shouting at them just because I'm on a roll.
Right.
And then I may apologize if, you know, it's gone too far. But it's just, you know, I or I'll come to them, I'll say, okay, what I really wanted to tell you was this. Sorry, I shouted. But it's okay that I shouted, right? So it's okay to say, oh, I've fallen off. This isn't true for me. But here I am off the path of truth.
Yeah, I like that. It's so simple, as you say. It's so simple. Yeah, I've fallen off the path of truth. Yeah, that's really profound. I love that. And then, is there anything you do to get back on the path of truth?
No, because as soon as you see that, that's awareness rising up in you, right? You don't need to control it. I don't need to say, okay, come up faster. You know, come on faster so I'll stop shouting at my kids. No,
right.
I see it's rising. Okay, which means that naturally I'll start maybe taking a deeper breath between shouting at my kids or something. But like there's a slowing down that happens naturally. But I don't need to manage that. Okay, because the awareness is the only thing we ever need. I've fallen off the path of truth. Where's the truth in this moment? No idea.
Right. So you don't go consciously looking for the truth at that moment or insight.
No, because since I've fallen off the path of truth, I can't be in a great state of mind. So I don't, whatever is true isn't necessarily going to come to me in that moment. But just the awareness starts slowing things down. And so it seems that in this thing that must happen before desperation, that we don't know what it is yet, right? There could be a time when there's just an awareness that comes the foreground, and you say, oh, I know this isn't the path of truth. No judgment, right? I could also go down the path of, God, I'm such a bad mom. God, what are the kids going to think? I'm traumatizing my kids. I'm shouting at them. I'm not setting a good example. That's very unhelpful, right? So I know now I wouldn't do that. But I can totally be in the awareness of I've fallen off the path of truth and still shouting. And it's okay because I'm human. I'm not a machine.
Right. And so, in a way, it seems like there's trust there that you know that you'll get back on the path.
Yeah.
At some point. Yeah.
That is a good point. And can you have the same trust?
And then also there's something in there about knowing that what's happening isn't the truth. Maybe we've already said that, but I see it a new way just now. That's the awareness, I guess, that, yeah, that whatever's happening isn't real, kind of, in a way, you know? Yeah, isn't the truth.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that is so simple. I love that.
And it can keep on, right? Because we can see it any moment, right? From that moment that you feel like there's some desperation. Okay, I've fallen off the path of truth. And maybe you'll see it a bit, and then you'll see it a bit more, and then you'll see it a bit more. And then it doesn't matter when it really, lands, because it will land, right? And maybe it's when you've cooked the rice, but you haven't eaten it. Maybe it's after you've eaten the rice, but like it will land, and then there'll be a gentler experience of it all. And then maybe you'll eat the rice. And maybe you'll have, some glass of wine. And it's just like, and then you'll see it completely. Right? So there's no judgment. But it's there. And when we, we say don't practice. But it's almost like the practice helps it. Because once you've seen it so many times, right, you know that's all I need. All I need is that first glimpse of awareness. That's all I need to see. And then I don't need to worry about it anymore, because right then I've moved into remembering what's true, which is not this, right? And I know it's not this because of the feeling. And then I know it's not the feeling. It's not. But like I said, you can hang out. It doesn't matter.
And so you just repeated again at the beginning, you said the feeling is telling me what's true. And so that drive to overeat, it's the same thing, but reversed. The feeling is telling me what's not true. It's a yucky feeling. It's, you feel gripped by this habit and it's yucky. And so that's telling me it's not true. This is not the path of truth. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. This is that the reason why I think I need to eat this that's making me feel yucky is not true.
Okay, I'm writing this down.
And then, I guess it doesn't matter, but it's worth remembering. We really don't need to then find, well, where's the truth then? Where's the truth? Like, what is the truth around this rice about the wine? No, we don't need that at all. That comes by itself. That just rises to the surface. And that will appear in perfect time for us to see it. Because, of course, if you're in an insecure thinking state and the truth comes to mind, you're not going to hear it anyway, so don't worry about that. Right. But once you see the awareness open up just a bit, then you're in a better position to hear something that's true, which may be like, oh, actually, maybe I'm not desperate. Maybe I don't need that.
Say that again. Do you remember what you said? There was something that,
yeah, just like you may, like, through the opening of awareness there'll be a shift. Then you can see, well, maybe I'm not desperate, like maybe I don't need to eat that. But and that will come in gentler, but you don't have to bring it in. Like what I said before, that was like, if you're worrying about when you're going to hear the truth, you're not going to hear it because you're in an insecure thinking.
Right.
Well, you don't need to worry about it, because even if it's like, here I am, here's the truth of what's going on right now, you're not going to hear it. So you just, through the awareness, things slow down, and then there's opening, and then a little bit of light can come in, and then maybe the truth will appear. And maybe it won't even appear that evening. Maybe it'll appear the next morning. And it doesn't matter.
Yes, because of the awareness.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think where I tripped up these last 5 months is I knew I needed awareness, awareness. I knew I needed an insight to shift me out of what was happening. But I don't know, somehow I went about looking for it in the wrong way. No, you know what? I think what it was I believed that feeling, the drive to overeat, was real. I believed it was real, and I believed it needed a solution. That's what it feels like inside me now. And instead of what you're describing feels so much lighter, you know, holding it in such a much lighter way, and just knowing this isn't real, this isn't the truth, and knowing that is enough. And then, as you say, I love that you say, the truth will rise to the surface. Is that what you said? Yeah. And I can see too that it was just, it's just a habitual battle, you know, and I just didn't know any better at the time not to engage. I was gripped with it. I was fighting with it, wrestling with it that whole time. Even when I was saying, you know, I'm trying to just let it go and let it be what it is. I can tell now, looking back, that I was really wrestling with it. And what you're describing, as we said, is so much simpler. Just knowing this is not the truth. And I'll say it again, I just felt like it was something I had to fix. And so when we're in that mindset, I'm sure that just makes it grip tighter. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of responsibility on us.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yes. I was taking it completely on myself. Say more about that.
Yeah. If I know that my, you know, the best thing that I can do in any moment is just have the awareness, this isn't true, right? And that's actually about sort of presence. Well, you could, I don't know what, you know, whatever would make sense to you. Is it like falling into presence? Oh, in this moment, oh, I get that feeling. Not uncomfortable, can't be true, right? Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all that's needed, right? And then to talk about the system then just falls into place. Right, it's going to fall into place anyway because, you know, it could be longer after you've eaten the meal and had the wine, and it will fall into place. Or it could be, you know, quicker, and it's just like as you spend more time in with this understanding, we fall back quicker into well-being, into a sense of ease, right? So if I can just remember, oh, what's my awareness? Oh, okay, that isn't true right now. That's it. The system takes care of itself. I'm not responsible for it. I don't need to find out what's true. I don't need to work out whether I need to eat the rice or not eat the rice. I'm just going to do whatever comes to mind anyway, right? So it's not on me, right? And it's not spiritual bypassing. No, it's not. It's because there's a system there and I can trust that it works because it really works.
Mm.
Right? It works for you every single time. So you're not responsible. But you can use your understanding to be an awareness, to remember that. That's it. That's all it takes. That's Sydney Bang, right? You're always a thought away from a different feeling. And that's that. That's that dropping into presence or remembering the feeling, seeing it's not true. Whatever it is, that's going to just one switch and the rest is taken care of. It's not on you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Oh, that's huge. I guess I've been thinking it was on me. You know, I mean, I know that insight, and I've known that insight isn't on me, but I feel like I've been responsible for everything else except that. So now I see you're saying there's a lot less for me to do. As we say, wow, yeah. So, yeah, I loved what you said about the system will take care of everything else. So the way you're saying the way that we're designed will take care of everything else.
Yeah, so loving.
Mm. Nice. Wow. Yeah. Wow, that's so big. Thank you. I'm going to write that down. Ah. Yeah, I just see this at a whole new level now. This whole thing about how the feeling we're having is always telling us whether we're on the path of truth or not. And yeah, just always getting that feedback. And then if we're not, just being aware of that is enough.
Yes.
This isn't a good feeling. Therefore, yeah, it's not the truth. Huh. Wow. That's amazing.
Pretty cool. I wonder if now if you read the Sydney Banks quote, if it reads differently for you.
You are a divine being walking through this life trying to find yourself. No, I think it reads the same way. The sort of the metaphor that occurred to me about that is that it was like we look through a windscreen, on a car. And you know how windscreens can be foggy sometimes. And that fog is created by our thinking and our lack of trust in how we work and all those things. And the more we see about that, the more the fog just starts to melt away. And what's left then is our divinity. We can see it clearly, which is what we've been talking about this morning. Yeah.
Because that's all in you. That's, I sort of call it divinity in your pocket, right? It's always there with you. It can never leave. And so there's this divine system, beautifully designed, and it's always working in our favor. And that's the divine in us. And then there's this tiny surface of free will that we can create all this stuff with, right? And we can just let it go. And remember, and then we're back, right, in the divine essence of it all.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So beautiful. So brilliant.
So simple.
Simple. Yes. Yes. Oh. Well, I wish I'd asked you to help me 4 months ago, four and a half.
I'd say it must be perfect because how can it be anything else, right? Because you may have heard it, and then we could have had a conversation and you wouldn't have heard
Yeah.
what you heard now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, and I can just really see how, despite all that I've learned or had learned up until now, there was still an element there of battling with this feeling, battling with that drive to overeat, wrestling with it. And as soon as we start wrestling with something, it just grips even tighter, and yeah, so it's really clear to me now. I didn't realize, of course, that I was doing that, but that's what I was doing. So yeah, thank you. That was really, really incredible. Very, very helpful.
Another story comes to mind, so I'll share it if you
Okay.
want.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I shared yesterday on the call about, for the lives you need 10. Did I tell you need 10 megabytes per second for the insight time alive?
Yes, yeah.
I told you that. So, and I was using the spiritual team.
Yep.
Didn't I tell you? Yeah. And so the spirit, I heard And I can't remember what I described yesterday, but immediately from the spiritual team, I heard be in touch with your ISP, right? And I was in touch with the ISP, but they couldn't solve it for me because they told me be in touch with the infrastructure provider. And then when I talked to the infrastructure provider, did I tell you this? With the cat running around with my energy, yeah? Screaming at them, like I'm screaming at the infrastructure people. Right. And I remember, like, as I'm screaming at them, I'm like, this isn't the way. I don't know why I'm doing this. Right. But I'm screaming at them. What can I do? I was really using some foul language. And not very foul, but, you know, just in context. And then, you know, in the end, I go, I couldn't even work it out what to do because they were like, you need to connect to the fiber. And the ISP was also like trying to get me onto the fiber with them. And it was just like the next morning I woke up, I'm like, I don't need no fiber right now. I just need the ISP to be both provided, right? So the thing is that I'd heard that at the beginning, right? But I needed to somehow go through this whole thing and me being aware, like sitting in that conversation, shouting, screaming at them and being aware, this is definitely not the way, right? But then go back to the ISP and realize, oh, I just need you to just take, you know, give me the infrastructure that we got right now and give me the upgrade. And like, but you see, I could have got caught up in that screaming and go, God, I'm so terrible. I'm so like, why didn't I just listen to the, I knew the answer was at the ISP. Why did I have to go to that whole thing? But it doesn't matter, right? Like, I don't do that anymore. I used to though. I used to, you know, if I was in the situation of having night sweats or whatever it was, and I'd be like, oh, I teach this stuff. What am I doing having all these symptoms again? Wow. Right. And then have the whole story running. Right. And I could also, just in that conversation of me screaming, going, what kind of person are you screaming at these poor folks on the, right? Like, yeah, the truth is they've been into my house and caused damage and whatever. But it's just like, it's not really appropriate. I just don't go, I don't mess around in that because it doesn't feel good, right? It doesn't feel good, right? And maybe I just needed to have the conversation and to remember how awful their service is. And then I can just feel completely fine just like dropping them and going over to the ISP. And it, like, whatever. But you see, like at any stage, like that could have been a much bigger fear, stress-inducing something, right?
Yeah.
And even me, you know, in that shouting and stuff, which could be like you trying to battle with the rice or with the wine, or whatever it is, right? It could be that, and then you can be like, whoa. But it's just like it happens, it's finished, and then you just calm down, right? And then, so I just calm down the next morning. Oh, that's what you need. Just give them a call. It's fine,
and
the gen.
An important point, when you calm down, that's when the solution came. I mean, it had come earlier, but that's when you kind of figured it out.
Right. Yeah. But then, like, it's the same with you with these 5 months. You could say, well, why not? What? You have to just go through it.
Yeah.
And then you can be in the place where you see something that's going to be transformative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Well, and there's no sense regretting it now because it's over. Right. So yeah,
exactly.
Dwelling on it is not going to help.
And the feeling will tell you that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, Tanya. This has been monumental.
Well, I'm so happy.
I really, really appreciate it. Yeah.
We have more. We have another 10 minutes.
Yeah. But I'm fixed. You fixed me.
Oh, I did. Can I get that as a testimonial? You fixed me.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for listening. I hope you found the show helpful and uplifting.
You'll find all the backlist episodes and show notes at unbrokenpodcast.com. To learn more about how to resolve an overeating habit in a way that's unlike anything else you've tried, get your complimentary copy of my Freedom from Overeating Starter Kit at alexandraamore.com/starter kit. See you next time.